Yo, what's up, Hoophead Nation? Fine, no worries, man. What's up, Hoophead Nation? This is Eddie Aparicio, and this is my co-host, Anthony Tuan Corral. And we are the Cisco Kids,
yes,
also known as Buzzer Beaters. And yes, we are a podcast that's brought to you by GremlingsMedia.com. You can find us at GremlingsMedia.com. You can also find us at any other popular podcast outlet you can think of, such as YouTube, Spotify, Pandora, Rumble, X, Facebook. Just go ahead and type in GremlingsMedia.com, and you should be able to find us. If this is your first time, this is our 58th episode, all right? 58, bro. Can you believe that? It's 58 episodes, right? But as you know, the NBA season is pretty much, you know, the regular season is over, but it's all about the summer league, right? So, by the way, we're here usually live, but today we are not live. And the reason being is because work got in the way again. This is probably the third or fourth time it's happened. Unfortunately, you know, life of a salesperson, it kind of happens, right? So that's why we're recording today. It will go ahead and, it'll come out tomorrow on all these platforms that we just mentioned before the show. But anyway, we are intending to do this live every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Although next week, we're not going to be able to do it live again. We're probably going to have to record or just skip out because Tuan's going to be going on vacation, right? Yep. He's going to have to go somewhere. So we're just going to skip next week. And then the following week, we're probably going to go ahead and do our last recording once Tuan gets back from vacation. We'll figure out the day to do that. But that'll more than likely be our last recording until the preseason starts, and that'll be sometime in September, right? So I just want to kind of line up the schedule for everybody. We appreciate your listening to us. You know, we've had some people that have been very dedicated to listening to us, and we definitely really appreciate that. Yeah. So so what we intend to do is go about an hour and a half now. I'm not going to say an hour anymore because it's been an hour and a half. Although today's show, we're probably going to be closer to an hour, but an hour and a half is kind of what our limit. That's what we try to do. So for today's show, we're going to go ahead and cover the Summer League, the Las Vegas Summer League. We're going to give you some of our, you know, observations, some of our standout players from the games that we watch, because we can't watch every game, right? Bottom line is way too much TV to watch. We have families. We can't just do that. We have to work, right? But, you know, for the games that we watched, you know, maybe the games that we've seen in the past, bring out some players that we thought were really good and some guys that are very disappointed, you know, disappointments. We also have this fantasy league that Tuan and I have done on rookies. And we're going to go ahead and go over that as well. And then the final segment, we're going to talk to us this week, is that we're going to go ahead and continue our team and player analytics that we did last week. We only did the Pacific in the Southeast division. But this week, we're going to go ahead and finish it up with the four remaining divisions, which is the Northwest, the Atlantic, the Southwest, and then the Central. And those are like, you know, West, East, as far as the conference. So, yep. And that'll be it for the show. So anyway, before we get started, Tuan, what's been going on with you, man? How's it been, man?
Nothing, man. My full-time duties at home have come.
Oh,
my
wife is back.
Yeah, she's back from New York.
You're like,
Mister, and welcome to site. So on that front, we get to split the load again, right? It's not all just on me. So, but you know, what's funny is we got a little dog and, and he was when she was gone, dude. That dog was stuck to me like glue, Eddie. He's like every 4 seconds, I'm like, "Is it feeding time? Is it feeding time?" I'm like, "Get away from me, man." But yeah, so she's back, and so that's good. Work's all right, you know. Work is work, and so like you know, we gotta do what we gotta do to make a living, and this is something we enjoy doing. And I just wanted to echo, you know, we've been doing. From my perspective, we've been doing really well with the audience. You know, I think better than Eddie and I had expected. And,
for sure.
You know, I'm grateful. I'm grateful to everyone for watching. Grateful for everyone, you know, just participating when you can. And, you know, I'm enjoying this. And so, and, you know, I know there's a lot of similar podcasts out there and a lot of people that do basketball. We've kind of prided ourselves on doing it more like a friend style, you know. We throw some metrics up there, but we really try to keep it, you know, kind of bar room, as it were. You know, if you're at lunch or you're at dinner and you're just kind of talking about it at the table. So I've really enjoyed it. So
I want to echo that sentiment because, you know, Tuan and I, We've only been doing this, honestly, for 58 episodes, right? I did a few episodes with William on Points on the Board. We did a few episodes prior to me and Tuan just doing basketball. But, you know, this we've never done this before, right? Yep. We've never done podcasting. This is, I guess we're considered veterans now, bro, after 58 episodes. We've been doing it, right? But we're consistent, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's the thing is when you're doing podcasts, you want to be consistent because you don't want to lose your audience. But that's why I want to kind of tell everybody that we're not going to be here next week. And then because we want to align the expectations so that you know when we're going to be here, right? But I think we're going to go ahead and do shorts here and there, you know, until September. We'll figure out how we're going to do that because Tuan and I, you know, our strength is just us together, right? This is what we do. But now when you do shorts, it's kind of one-on-one kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
So that'll be some adjustment for us, but we'll do it. We'll do it here and there when it makes sense, right?
Yeah.
So Tuan, with respect to, you know, why I couldn't do this live today. All right, bro. So work got in the way, like I said, and as an account manager, I had accounts and I had somebody in town that had to go take it to accounts. So I had to charge up my Tesla up to 100%. Okay. Because dude, I had to do some serious driving today, bro. All right. I had to go ahead from Pleasanton. I had to go down to Sunnyvale, had a meeting in Sunnyvale, and then I had lunch in Sunnyvale. Then I had to go ahead and drive to Santa Rosa from Sunnyvale. Right. And then had a meeting up in Santa Rosa. Then I had to go ahead and drive the guy back to the airport at San Jose, right? Oh, and then I had to drive back up to Pleasanton.
Yeah,
and then, of course, I had to go ahead and charge my car because I'm back at it again tomorrow, all right? But I'm not going to Santa Rosa tomorrow. I'm actually going to go to Sunnyvale and Campbell, then, you know, the airport, and then come back. It's still going to be a long way, but, bro, I drove 300 plus miles today, bro, in one day.
Yeah, right? You know, with all that Bay Area traffic, I'm sure you never drove those 60.
I was in traffic galore, bro.
I know. I hate it. That's the worst part. You know, it isn't so much the driving. It's just you're just stuck and not moving.
Yeah, dude. So, but you know, of course, with a lot of windshield time, right? Especially on the drive home. You know, I listen to sports talk, right? And that's kind of like the genesis of kind of how you and I kind of do this kind of podcast. Is, you know, we are avid listeners of radio talk shows around sports, right? So we kind of wanted to mimic that a little bit because we gravitate to sports talk, not necessarily for the content, because of the dynamics between, the hosts, right? And, you know, and you know, we're not necessarily, you know, the optimist and the pessimist, right, kind of vibe. But you're a little bit more realist than me, right? I don't want to say pessimistic. You're more of a realist. I'm definitely way more optimistic than you are.
Yeah.
Right? But anyway, so on my drive today, bro, the radio talk shows were talking about this commentary that came from, you know, this is not a basketball topic, right? But Scottie Scheffler, who has been the number one golfer for the last 3 years, has won multiple majors. I think he's won 4 majors, if that, maybe even more. But he's like the highest level guy in the sport, right? So it's kind of like, you know, Jordan. It's kind of like, you know, Barry Bonds, Willie Mays, whoever you want to consider the best in baseball. That's always an argument, right? It's kind of like Wayne Gretzky, right? Jerry Rice for football, all this. But you know, he had some commentary today that kind of was very polarizing because, you know, he was kind of saying in so many words that, hey, look, you know, golf is important to me, but it's not the most fulfilling thing in the world for me. You know, if it gets in the way of my family, I'll stop it right away. You know, this and that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's like, I'm not here to treat, you know, to kind of, you know, motivate somebody else to be the best golfer in life. Right. That, you know, it's work for me sometimes. I'm tired of it. Right. This and that. And of course, this guy makes millions of dollars a year. So anytime somebody who plays a game for a living, right, because that's something that, you know, you want to find a job that's not considered work, right? You want to find a job that is fun so that, you know, you're getting paid for something that you enjoy to do, right? So you would think that this guy's been, you know, the best golfer in the world. He loves playing a sport. It's fun, you know, and all of a sudden he has this kind of commentary that could be misconstrued, right? So I wanted to kind of get your take, bro. I wanted to kind of get your take on what I don't know if you heard the interview, right?
Yeah.
So
yes, I've heard.
Bro, I kind of wanted to get your take on what that all meant, bro.
This is such a – there's so much complexity and nuance to this. So first of all, you know, when I started working and when I started having a family and, you know, doing all that, there was this expression that I used to do, which is, do you live to work or work to live?
Right.
I've always been the latter. I work to live. I work to provide. Yep. I work. However, and so from that perspective, I completely 100% agree with what he said. You know, his family's more important. His loved ones are more important. His things that he does in his personal life are more important. And golf is a means to an end.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
Believe me, I get it. And for me, it's not a polarizing comment. However, the interesting thing is that this is all based on the amount of money that's being generated.
Yeah.
If you're a janitor and you say this, no one's going to care. Right? If you're working at McDonald's and you say, I just use this to provide, of course, that's obvious. When you're getting paid millions and millions and millions of dollars, you are, for lack of a better word, the aspiration to all amateur golfers.
Yeah, for like sure. You're considered a role model, right?
Everybody that wants to be you.
Yep.
And the way that that is interpreted through that is, man, you got all this talent and you don't even appreciate it. Right? That's the problem. The problem is that I agree with what he's saying, but he has to, in my estimation, has to understand his audience. Right? His audience isn't going to take it that way because there's so many people, you know, and I'm going to give you two trips that I took in life that were really eye-opening. In the early 90s, I went to Peru with my dad, you know, and the interesting thing that I found there was when I got there, all my cousins took me out every day. We went drinking or eating, and I mean, they just, from my perspective, they stopped their life, whatever it is that they were doing, to enjoy time with me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Fast forward to about 2004. From work-related reasons, I go to London. And all the people that I work with in London, they start like at 10, and they're out by like 2. And like, all right, let's go do what we got
to
do.
Go to the pub.
You know, and the two things that resonated with me is that both places valued social way higher than work.
Yes, yes.
But when people come here, when my cousins come here, it's like, I can't go. I got to work. I can't do this. I can't, you know, I can't. We are such a work-focused country.
Yes.
You know? And so that's what I mean. You got to know your audience. If I'm guessing, and, you know, anybody out there that has commentary, you want to give me my feedback and tell me I'm way off? Sure. But I'm guessing that if this guy was English, Latino, you know, of origin, I'm thinking those people are like, well, hell yeah.
They'd be like, they understand.
No problem, right? Yeah, it's about family. It's about eating. It's about us. It's about, you know, so that to me. But again, I fundamentally have no problem with what he said. But I think he needs to understand that he generates a lot of revenue for what he does. And there's a lot of people that pay because this is their whole life.
Yeah, and the thing is that, you know, he is the face of the sport. Yeah. He and Rory McIlroy are the two faces of that sport. And if you can imagine the impact of a message like that coming from LeBron, coming from Curry, right? Yep. Stephen Curry, coming from, you know, let's say Shohei Ohtani, who's probably considered the best baseball player right now, it would definitely have a way different, I mean, it'd be way more polarizing. It's still polarizing. It's golf, right? Golf is still a big sport, but it's not as big as those other ones, right?
No, you're right.
And the thing is that you're right. You have to take into account that those comments, you can't take it back, right? I think he had different
intentions. I agree with it, right? That's the problem. Yeah. I agree with
him. Yeah. He had different intentions with that message.
Yeah.
I think what he was – so he just had a child about a year ago, bro, right?
Yep.
And you and I, when we first had our child, dude, everybody that I know that is about to be a father, you know, I tell them, bro, it is the most life-changing event you will ever have in your life, bro. It will change your perspective on everything. It will make you look at things from the past that you used to sweat. And you'd be like, what the hell am I sweating this for, bro, right?
Yep.
And it's like, and I think that's kind of what's going on with them, bro. It's like, He's newly, he's a new father. I'm sure he's an emotional guy, bro. All right. He's very stoic and he comes across very stoic, but he's deep inside. He's a very emotional guy. And I'm sure that shook him to the core when he saw, you know, a being that now that's completely dependent on him. Right. And, you know, he doesn't want anything to get in the way of, you know, this family unit that he has now. Right.
Correct.
And, dude, it's like I myself, you know, everybody's motivated differently, but when I looked at my kid, I'm like, holy crap, I'm going to do anything I can to keep this kid, you know, happy, you know, to provide, right? It made me more motivated to kind of work harder for me, right? Other people, maybe he's a multimillionaire. He doesn't have to work anymore, bro, right? And he's probably pretty much saying that in so many words. Hey, man, I've made all this money. I've kind of accomplished everything I wanted to do. I set goals for myself, and I'm there. Now I have something that's way more fulfilling, way more important than what I have been doing, right? And now
that's how it should be.
That's what he was trying to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what he said. He's like, look, man, I love golf. I love the sport. I love what it has brought for me and my family. My priorities are a little different right now. It's not the most important thing in the world for me. I'm not saying it's not important anymore, but I have a family now. I have this kid I just had, you know, and it's like it's a big deal for me. And, you know, I'm going to still provide for my family, but the moment I feel that golf is kind of becoming too much for me, that's probably when I have to probably stop and reconsider things and reevaluate, right?
Yep.
That's what he should have said in so many words, but I think that's what he said in so many words, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, right? You're right. I mean, you know, you and I think we talked last week about Jokic not re-upping his
son.
And I mentioned Eddie, he may be ready to retire.
You brought this up, man.
Yeah, yes. You know, and so to me, you know, the one thing that I would say, and you know, without getting like super deep here, but you know, when I had my kids, especially my first one, I mean, not that my second, but you know, you kind of relive that the second time.
Yeah,
but you really start to understand the word love. Like,
oh yeah,
not that I don't love my wife because I do, but our love is more give and take.
Yeah.
Your love for your child is I can give and never get back and it would never be a problem. Like it's that emotion's never changing.
Yes.
There's nothing you could do to mess it up.
Yes.
You know, with my younger one, with my older one, you can't mess up that. And so that is in essence, I think what he's feeling. And you know, and what he's saying is that if it sacrifices my time with my child or my impact with my child and my family, forget it. I'm out.
Yeah.
You know, but then you've got all these people that invest, you know, people that are investing in advertising, people that are investing in tournaments, people that are investing in making clubs and sponsorships. And they're going, dude, shut up. Like, shut up. We don't want our audience realizing that this is just a game. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because this pays for all of us, bro. You're like, stop it. Right, I can see them kind of saying that. Maybe they won't say it to him because they're going to look like greedy and industrial, you know, kind of capitalists, as it were. But yeah, to me, I don't disagree. It's refreshing. He puts things in perspective.
Yeah.
But the truth is, if we all put things in perspective, none of you athletes would be making that much money. That's the truth.
Yeah. Dude, you know, it's interesting. Commentary. It's very polarizing. You know, us being the age that we are, we've lived it a little bit, right?
Yeah.
I think that if we were younger, we might react differently, bro. Right? If we weren't parents, if we weren't, you know, kind of, you know, realistic, we're within 10 years of retiring, right? Honestly, right?
Yeah.
Within that time frame, right?
Yep.
Both of us, right?
If we're lucky.
and your perspective is different when you're older, bro. You're a little bit more wiser, right? And you kind of take what he's saying as you take it differently, bro. It's like it hits home a little bit more. It's like you feel like I get what you're saying, bro. I really get it, man, right? And it's funny because the commentary, the sports talk guys, they were kind of all in the same line, right? They were kind of saying they had a similar sentiment that we had, right? Yeah. Of course, the younger, you know, hosts and co-hosts and people, they kind of like have a different perspective. And I think this part of the reason is because, you know, they don't have the same kind of life, right? That the older crowd has and appreciation for, you know, what comes with life, right? Life is hard, bro. And you have to manage through it. And, you know, it's a lot easier when you're a multimillionaire. You can say, screw it, I'm going to walk out anytime I want, bro. I mean, like, he's got FU money, right? And that's what you would love to be able to have FU money and just say, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm out. And that's kind of what he's saying in so many words. Like, I have a whole different life now. This is important to me. And golf is important, but it's not the most important thing to mine.
And you know what's interesting, Eddie, is I don't remember his exact verbiage, but I want to say, I don't know, I think it was 2 years ago when Giannis was eliminated from the playoffs.
Yeah.
And
I remember that.
They were asking him, you know, like, how sad are you, or how, you know, what the impact was. I don't remember his words, but basically he's like, dude, this is a game. This is a game. You know, and I don't, you know, we both have younger kids, but, you know, I see a lot of like headlines where the new generation work is secondary. You know, they don't, you know, so I'm wondering, like, is this a generational thing too, where he's speaking to the younger generation and the younger generation don't take it as hard as some of the older generation that's worked hard and gotten 10% of what this guy's made, you know, and they're like, you ungrateful SOB, you know, kind of that's the mentality, right? Like, you're making millions and millions of dollars and now you're like saying it's not important. Like, dude, you won the lottery and you're flaunting it in our face. I don't feel that way because I get.
Yeah, but that's what a lot of people perceive it as.
You got to be sensitive to who you're talking to. Like,
yeah, exactly.
They're not in the position you're in.
No matter what you say. Yeah. Right. No matter, like us, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's gonna agree with whatever we're saying, man. Yep. Right. Yep. It's an opinion, right? He's expressing an opinion, but it's an opinion that, you know, he's got so much impact, so much gravity because he's the best player of that sport.
Yep.
And it's amplified, right?
Yep.
So he had good intentions to, you know, for himself and his family.
Yep.
It's just that not everybody's going to interpret it that way, but that's okay, man. Some of us are going to understand it and say, bravo, kid, right? And I'm saying saying bravo, kid.
Me too. Good for you,
what
man.
You said, right?
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
So anyway, bro. And I wish that I was in a profession where I could make so much money that I could walk away.
And you have a platform to say that stuff and make an impact, right?
You know, I am jealous of his ability to do that, you know?
Well, hey, bro, we have a platform, but we're nowhere close, right?
Right, but I'm not walking anywhere except to work.
Right.
That's where I'm walking, you know?
Speaking of the platform, bro, this is an NBA basketball podcast, right? I wanted to get your opinion on this commentary, and we expressed our opinion. You know, a lot of you are not going to agree with it, but we're okay with that, right? So let's dovetail the most awkward segue into basketball, right?
Basketball.
So now what we're going to talk about first, as I mentioned, is the Las Vegas Summer League. Now, the Summer League took place in California as well, Salt Lake City, about a week and a half ago. We're now knee-deep into Las Vegas Summer League, and that started on the 10th. Of July, Thursday the 10th, and it started out with, okay, you know, it's going to be Cooper Flagg versus, you know, the Bronny James. That kind of got all the fanfare. So from there, we went ahead and, you know, kind of looked at every game. And, Twan, you have some slides there. We can go ahead and post that. But what we've done here is, you know, we have every game here listed. And probably, oh, here we go. You have to figure out. By the way, you know, did you notice that that big
the buzzer beaters got the layout.
It made it small, so it wasn't so prominent. And we don't mind the branding, man, but it was kind of getting in the way of our content, right?
And
it looks like right now this is kind of working out. So you can see I've listed, you know, in the next two slides,
actually,
you know, all the games that
we like this one better, or no?
The other one was better because it just shows, well, you know, you know, it's okay, man. We can make ourselves small for right now, bro. All right. So what we've done here, let me go ahead and put another ticker here. Is we have went ahead and looked at every day for Summer League. And, you know, what I did list on the bottom of each of these days is I kind of put the rookie MVP for each of those days and as well as the overall MVP for each of those days. And what you'll notice here is the numbers that I'm listing here are all fantasy points. If this is your first time watching the show, you know, we have been – go ahead. This is kind of our metric to kind of show how well a player has been doing because, you know, I'm an avid FanDuel, you know, basketball player, right? And we're using the point system of fantasy to go ahead and kind of measure the efficiency of a player for his playing time on the court, as well as how many points he accumulates. And it's kind of like, rather than showing all the stats, it's the best way to kind of just represent that, all of those stats into one number. And that's what that number on the bottom tells you. It's the fantasy points, which is points, rebounds, assists, steals, blocks, turnovers, right? And there's this point system that I have for that, which I've explained multiple times on this podcast. So this is the first time. You can kind of go back and listen to it. But you know, here's what you have. Joan or Joan or however you say his name, Behringer, out of the he's actually been the best player so far for the first for the first day. He had 46.1 points. And then, bro, from last year's rookie league, you know, Jalen Tyson, he was on my rookie team last year, and he plays for the Cavaliers, 47.8 points. That's legit, bro, right? I mean, that's really good. But I just wanted to kind of out and show everybody what they're seeing here on each of the slides. And, bro, I can see that the pictures, maybe you can go back to the other one because then, you know, it's kind of hiding some of the other numbers, maybe the other layout, bro. Maybe put us – yeah, that's better, bro. You can see it. Yeah, that's a good one. All right, bro. So, but you can see on Friday, July 11th, the MVP was Liam McNeely of the Hornets, 42.4 points. Okay, Colin Knuppel, who's on my team, didn't really show up that day, right? But look at your team. Look on the bottom. The overall MVP for Friday was Reed Sheppard, who was on your fantasy team last year, right? I mean, this is probably a good year for him this year to kind of emerge, man, because you know he's probably going to get some playing time now, right? Because of some of the moves that the Rockets have done. You know, so, but anyway, so then in the third day, you have Brooks Barnheiser of the Thunder being the best for that day for, with 47 points. And then you have this other guy, Tomlin. I don't even know who this guy is, but he had 50.6 points. So I just want to kind of lay it out for you. But from all the games that you've watched, bro, let me ask you this. Who are some of the players that have stood out? Oh, but before you even get to that, there's a ticker on the bottom. What I'm showing here is the rankings right now of all of the summer league games that have taken place up to, you know, yesterday's game, because there are games going on today. We couldn't go ahead and record all that to put it in here, but I was only able to go ahead and show for the top 40 here, right? And again, the numbers that you see here are fantasy points, okay? Yep. So you can see that Johnny Broome, who's on my team, bro, he is the number one fantasy points for the entire summer league right now. Will Richard being number two of the Warriors. So you can kind of see how it keeps going, right? That's what I want to point out. But anyway, from what you have seen, who are some of the guys that have stood out for you? Who are some of the guys that have been disappointments? You know, anybody that stands out, anything like that?
So right off the bat, the first guy who's impressed me quite a bit, and maybe his fantasy points don't reflect that. I haven't seen his name here yet, but it's the Chinese center.
Oh, yeah. So it's a Hanson Yang.
Yeah, right there. There he is.
Hanson Yang. Hanson Yang. And by the way, real quick, just since you brought it up, before you go into him, his name is Hanson Yang, but he's being regarded as Yang Hanson, right? Which is interesting because I have a friend of mine who's, you know, Chinese and told me that Yao Ming, okay, his real name, his first name is Ming. It's not Yao.
So they always put it in reverse.
Correct. Correct. So that's why it's Hanson Yang. But yet his you know, the last name on his back is showing Yang, but they're calling him, you know, Nelson Yang when it's actually really Hang, you know, Yang Nelson. Nelson Yang is his real name, but they refer to him as Yang Nelson.
Hanson.
Yeah, Hanson. Anyway, bro, you brought him up. Go for it, bro.
So, dude, his passing ability,
he has really good.
His calmness on the court. I mean, his vertical's limited. He's not a, like, over-the-rim type guy. I mean, he's a tall guy. But I've really been kind of excited about him.
Oh, yeah. That guy looks good, man.
Yeah. And, you know, you already jotted Liam McNeely here, which has been doing really well. Yep. Jace Richardson is another one who's been playing.
He has played well. And considering his small size, he's played well. I agree with you, bro.
Correct. And another guy that I've been looking at is hold on here. Let me bring him up. Well, you brought him up over the weekend, and I rewatched the game. Is Carter Bryant? His defense
is ridiculous, dude.
Oh boy, like he's a monster.
He is a monster, dude.
He is a monster.
He is a monster.
Yeah, so watching him has been – I don't know what – San Antonio's got too many people now. Like they're going to have a lot to to figure out in terms of who's playing, who's not, you know. Yeah. One thing, and, you know, I guess this is a good time to bring it in. Man, the NBA's pissing me off, Eddie.
Why?
They keep sitting all the players.
Come on, man. Especially you have, like, you know, our fantasy league, right? He's like, why are you sitting?
All that aside, it's like, dude, like, let Cooper Fagg play.
Dylan Harper now has been sat. He's sitting now, too.
Play. Like, mm-hmm. Let him play, man. Like, I don't understand why you're sitting them down now.
It's probably because of risk of injury, bro. That's the whole main reason. It's like, okay, this is a showcase, you know, but there's risk that comes with showcasing these players, right?
Yeah.
You'll notice that most of the players that have been doing well, if you can see, like, the rankings, most of these guys that are doing well are second-round picks, right? Yeah. Because they're getting the playing time, right? Yeah. There are some, you know, first-rounders sprinkled here and there. But, yeah, your point is taken, bro. It's like, you know, the GMs are saying, hey, man, we're shutting these guys down because, you know, there's risk of injury, bro. So there's load management going on in summer league.
I see it as an extension to the NBA. When they get to the NBA, they take certain games off. It's just
Load management.
Yeah, load management. And I'm not a fan of that. I don't know how to fix this. Obviously, one way is to have less games. The NBA is never going to do that because they generate too much revenue for each game, so that's never going to happen. But yeah. Those have been some of the highlights of, you know, another one. He's a second year player, but my boy Filipowski has been playing really well.
He's been playing really well, Tuan. You know what? If we included your players from last year to my players from last year, you'd be kicking my butt, bro.
Yeah, seriously. A lot of butt. Yeah, and so you know, one thing that I'm curious about is, you know, Klingon is the incumbent starter on the Trailblazers.
Yes.
But now what's going to happen with you know, Yang? You know, is Yang going to take minutes away from him?
He's going to be a backup for right now because, you know, Klingon has actually shown that he deserves to play more, right? Because, mm-hmm. you know, remember we do a lot of these rookie watch segments and, you know, he was always one of the top three from a total metric standpoint, right? So, you know, I think that he deserves his playing time. And he's essentially the reason why DeAndre Ayton is no longer in the team, bro. So I think that, you know, Hanson Yang is definitely a great backup. Totally different, you know, player than Donovan Klingon because he's a little bit more of a kind of like a Arvydas Sabonis-like, right?
You heard what they're calling him.
What are they calling him?
The Chinese Jokic. That's what they're calling him, dude.
Are they really? No, he's got great vision, man. I agree.
You know, Eddie, you're going to have to remind me because you got a better memory here, but who was the incumbent center when Jokic joined Denver? It was
Yusuf Nurkic.
Yusuf Nurkic. And Yusuf
Both drafted the same year. And Nurkic was the starter. He was the higher draft pick.
He was the higher draft pick. And at the time, he looked like the better prospect. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm kind of seeing something similar with Yang and Klingon going on here. Like, I think Yang's going to be a player, dude.
Oh, I can see it too, man.
He adds a dimension that Klingon can't.
Well, see, the thing is that Klingon is a more defensive-minded player, whereas Hanson Yang is more of a offensive-minded player, right? Yeah. So there's going to be matchups where Hanson's going to start different matchups depending on the team that they're playing. You know, if more defense is needed, then Klingon comes in, right?
Correct.
But yeah. It's a great person because that's another guy that I highlighted. I highlighted him as somebody that I thought was great. Yeah. You know, another guy that I thought was, you know, you brought up Carter Bryant. He was another guy that I highlighted that was awesome. But another guy that's on your team, bro, is Trey Johnson, dude.
Yes, Trey Johnson.
That dude looks like an offensive force, bro. All right. Yeah. The game comes easy to him. He's very fluid. He's already, you know, the game has already slowed down for him. And that's very telling for somebody, you know, who's just coming into the league. That shows superstar potential, right? And, you know, one of the commentators on NBA.com, I forgot who it is. He's former center, Spencer Haywood, I think it is.
Yeah, Spencer Haywood.
Yeah, Spencer Haywood. He's already been claiming that that guy could be potentially the rookie of the year over freaking Cooper Flagg, right? Because of the situation that he's in, right? He's playing for the Washington Wizards, right? And he's going to get a lot of playing time. you know, and because the Washington Wizards are a team that's trying to rise, whereas Cooper Flagg's on a team that's already got a lot of superstars on their team, right? And, you know, he's not going to necessarily be the guy who, you know, that the scoring load is going to be on him, right? So, but Trey Johnson probably will, right? And we all know that Rookie of the Year is all about image, right? So,
yeah.
So anyway, that's another guy I wanted to point out.
Other guy really quick, Eddie, because you just – I'm jogging my memory. I only watched him one game, but Kobe Brea?
Yeah, for the Phoenix Suns.
Oh, for the Phoenix Suns. Sorry, yes, for the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah.
That dude's got stroke.
He's got stroke, yes. That's what he's known for. He's a good shooter.
Yeah,
man.
Like really good. What's interesting, the reason I paid attention to him is he was originally drafted by the Warriors and then traded for Richardson.
Yes.
Or Richards.
Will Richard. Yeah. Will Richard.
Yeah, for Will Richard.
Exactly.
So, go ahead. Sorry, I interrupted you. Finish your highlights.
No, I was just going to go ahead and bring up, you know, we're talking about some highlighted, you know, some guys that, you know, we wanted that are standouts, right? And by the way, you can probably go to the next page, too, since we've already, you know, shown this information on this one.
I kind of messed this up and made it to, there we go.
So, that's now we have, you see, you got the Sunday, then Monday, then Tuesday, right? So, you can see the different, there's different MVPs for each day.
Yeah.
Danny Wolf being the best for Sunday's game, then you had Colin Knuble being the best, who's on my team, being the best for Monday, and then BJ Edgecombe, again, another one on my team, being the best.
Yeah, BJ Edgecombe's another one that's been.
Yeah, that dude's fluid, man. He's very fluid. But you know, look at your Filipowski kid, dude.
There he is.
The best guy on Monday overall, 50.7 points. Charles Bassey,
61 scoring points.
Yeah, and Jacoby Walter, and last year's, these guys are all, except for Bassey, but drafted players were Kyle Filipowski and Jacoby Walter. These are from the draft class of 2024.
Yeah,
they're showing up, right? A lot of this, that's one of the things I've noticed is that the second year players are the ones who are showing up in summer league now. It's like everything slowed down for him. Even like Alex Saar, he looks really good now, right?
Defensively, he looks much better. Yeah,
way better, right? We haven't seen your boy. What's his name? Reese Arshay. We haven't seen him play. You know, he's not playing on the summer league. But I just wanted to bring up, you know, some of the standouts that have been happening from second year players. But as far as, you know, disappointments, I want to bring up, you know, to your point, some of these our GMs are not playing their players. Cedric Howard has yet to see a game. Thomas Sorber of the Thunder has yet to see a game. As of yesterday, and then Drake Powell, another one who is yet to see a game. So, Rashear Fleming got his first game yesterday or a couple of days ago. Javon Small, Adu Thierro, all these guys have not played a game.
Yeah, Thierro's been hurt. I know they haven't played him because they said he's hurt.
Right.
Yeah.
But those are the disappointments that I want to go ahead.
Yeah, no, I agree. This is an opportunity for them to highlight who they are, get some reps in, see what they look like against kind of their level of competition at this point.
Yep.
You know, yeah. And so I agree. I wish they would play. I wish Flagg would play more games. I wish Harper would play more games. I wish, you know, Ace Bailey, he's been here and there. You know, he hasn't really, you know, he made a big stink about who he wouldn't work out for anybody. And so he's had some good nights, but clearly hasn't made a rookie or a MVP on any of your lists. So he hasn't been the best player out there as of yet.
Right. So, but anyway, this is what we're going to go ahead and cover for the next show. We're not going to do it next week. We're going to do it the week after. We're going to finish because the Summer League will end by this Sunday, right? Yeah. And then we're going to be off next week, but then we're going to go ahead and summarize all of this for the entire Summer League so that you can kind of see, you know, where your players that you've been following, where they rank once the whole Summer League is over, right? And I'll do the same thing for all the rest of the games, showing the MVPs, you know, for each of for the rookie class as well as overall MVP. Dude, I love the number stuff. You know, I geek out on this stuff, bro. So that's, you know, I'm the numbers guy, right? So I have no problem doing this. It's fun for me. But anyway, that's, you know, any other topics before we go ahead and go on to the next?
I did want to. It kind of went low-key, and I meant to talk to you about it. You know, Bleacher Report came up with their top 100 players.
Oh, for this class?
No, for the top 100 in the NBA.
Oh, okay.
I sent you a link. You must have missed it, but, you know.
I missed it.
So Curry was 10th.
Oh, I did see that. I remember that.
And then Kobe was like 12th or 13th or – I don't know if he was – I don't remember, but he wasn't in the top 10.
Interesting.
Okay?
Interesting.
And there's like upheaval. And, you know, what I thought would be really cool is we can do another exercise, right? Compare – you know, because I think that, again, our list would look significantly different.
Oh, yeah, the PGI.
Yes, our PGI. Compared against the top 100, I thought that that would be.
Oh, yeah, we could do that. We could do that. We did it against the ESPN's top 100.
We did.
We can do it against Bleacher Report's top 100.
Correct.
And see
correct.
The compare and contrast.
What's interesting is for those that, you know, you can go back and see the show, but, you know, LeBron was number two, and on ours, I believe LeBron was fourth.
Yeah, he was fourth.
Right? He was Wilt, it was, Jordan.
It was Jordan. It was Jordan, Wilt, Kareem, LeBron. No, he was fifth because it was Kareem to me. It was Jordan, Wilt, Kareem, Russell, yes. LeBron.
Yes.
So he was five.
Correct. And for those that think we're trying to favor, I think Curry, we had him at what, like 15th?
He was, I think, right around there. And James Harden was slightly above him.
Correct. Correct. Yes. So I found that all fascinating. You know, I was looking at the list and all I could think about was our PGI index. And I'm going, dude, like, if you guys are all worked up, like, imagine if our thing went national, they're going to go, what you mean LeBron's fifth?
Exactly, bro.
Yeah.
Exactly,
yeah,
man. Hopefully you guys enjoy kind of this, you know, analysis that we do. You know, it kind of brings, you know, you to look at players differently when you look at the all the statistics being represented as one number. This is kind of what the benefit of this is. It's just easier to show the effectiveness this way rather than showing all their stats, right? It just brings a number to it, right? Which is similar to what we do with this PGI index, right? We kind of did the same thing. We come up with this index that shows the greatness index for a certain player. We're kind of doing the same thing here, but on a per game basis, right? Yeah. So, all right, bro.
So what also was interesting, Eddie, was, you know, we joked when we did it where Clay wore number 77 because he was the 77th. He was like, I think either 100 or 90. Like he was way back there.
On Bleacher Reports.
So. Yes, on Bleacher Reports, he was like one of the first guys to pop up. You know.
Wow.
And so again, just fascinating. You know, I don't know if we've done Clay Thompson's metrics. We did. Yeah.
We did. I do have Clay Thompson's numbers, but right now I can probably pull it up here. Let me see if I have it. But
all good if you don't. I thought that was kind of fun.
Yeah, no, we'll do, you know what? We'll do that for the next show, bro. We'll do it for the last show of the year before, not last show for the year, but the last show before the preseason, right? So in 2 weeks, we'll do that. We'll go ahead and finish this and then we'll do the PGI, you know, kind of versus the Bleacher Report. I'll go ahead and prepare that, man. So, all right, man. So we're done with the summer league. Of course, the most important slide, bro. All right. All right. Look at that, man. So. Here is what, you know, this is our drafted team. Tuan's on the second team. I'm on the team at the top, both, you know, figuratively and, you know, literally. Anyway, but anyway.
All right, buddy.
So you can see, bro, the main reason why I am ahead is because of Johnny Broom, my second round pick, bro.
He's
played
pick,
in six summer league games. Everybody else has only played in two and sometimes one. Right?
Yeah.
That is the reason why. So if you had picked like Will Richard, you would be right up there, bro, right? Because Will Richard is the second best scoring output leader behind Johnny Broom. But you can see, you know, Johnny Broom, 137.3 points total for entire fantasy for summer league, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, on my team, the second best is VJ Edgecombe at 88.2. Now, your best is Cooper Flagg, but he's only played two games, right? Yeah.
And
everybody else has played two games too, except for Rashear Fleming. And Rashear Fleming's only played one game, right? But you know, again, this is just summer league. I will just have an advantage before the season begins, right? You know, we can probably do preseason too and include that in here too, right? We can do that, right?
Yeah, we'll do that.
I'll
include one for summer league, one for preseason, and then one for the regular season.
Yeah, but
you know, this list brings me up a little bit of a disappointment. Malawach hasn't looked as good as I
was hoping.
Was hoping he'd look.
Yeah, but you know,
he looks more raw than I thought.
But you know, Victor Wembanyama didn't do very well his first game either.
No. I'm not saying that he sucks. I'm just saying at this point he's been lesser than what I thought he would be.
Yeah, I got you, man. I got you.
Yeah.
But you can see that I'm up right now by 134.27 points right now.
Because of
Johnny Broom, right?
Yeah, and I got a player that isn't playing anymore.
Yep. I don't know. Dylan Harper's been shut down, so he's not playing anymore. Silver Flag's not playing
anymore.
Yeah,
but Bailey isn't playing anymore.
Bailey isn't playing anymore. So, and this is the last week. So I'm gonna add the preseason to the summer league, and then whatever that number comes out to be, that's gonna be what it is for the beginning of the regular season, right?
Okay.
So
gotcha.
We're gonna do this for the entire season, bro. Right? All right.
All right.
All right, brother. So let's go on to the last segment. So we're gonna go ahead and continue our analysis of each of the teams. And from each of the divisions of the NBA from both a team and player analytics standpoint. Now, here you can see the Oklahoma City Thunder. Dude, look at the freaking net rating for every player on that freaking squad. It's all just double digits.
Dude, I'm not going to – I mean, you'll notice it. I had, I believe, two teams where all they had was negative.
Yes. Washington Wizards was one of them. Charlotte Hornets was another one. I mean, there's a reason, right? But what I wanted to show here is you can see that the team offensive rating, they were third, right? That's what the three in the parentheses with the 120.33 offensive rating at the top of the screen shows. Defensive rating, they're number one. Net rating, they're number one, which is a record, right? It's 1 point better than what, you know, Boston Celtics had done the year before that. But what I wanted to show here so that just to remind everybody that you're going to see a parentheses next to the player in Shai Gilgeous Alexander at 122.4 as his offensive rating. That's 122.4 points per 100 possessions is what on average he does. And that's best. That's 11th best in the NBA. That's what that tells you, that 11 right there, right?
Yep.
Then you go to the defensive rating. Alex Caruso was the best at 102.5, and he's 48th best in the NBA. And then you go to Jalen Williams, who's the best net rating, and that's best for 13th in the entire NBA. Dude, this team, that's part of the reason why I wanted to kind of show this is because, you know, the player analytics is definitely influenced a lot by the team system, you know, by the overall philosophy of the team. A good player like Kevin Durant, who's in a bad situation, his whole analytics might not flow as if he was, like, next year when we look at Kevin Durant on the Houston Rockets, his net rating is going to be ridiculous, dude, right? So, anyway, so I want to go ahead. We can go on to the next team.
Yeah, one thing I want to just highlight on here is Jamal, which at least in the slides that I worked on was a rarity. There's nobody net new on this. This is everybody from this season projected to be starter and bench for next.
Yes.
Right? That's a rarity, actually.
Yes. But then they're going to add Thomas Sorver. They're going to add Brooks Barnheiser.
Whether they crack the rotation, that's a whole other.
Right. They have also Nikola Topic.
Correct.
Right. Yeah. Right. So these are three really up and coming good players,
but right now their core is intact.
Their core is intact, man. So, they're the defending, the defending NBA champions, as I want to say, not world champions, right? But the NBA champions. All right, brother. Let's go on to the next one. So the Denver Nuggets. So you can see here that there are some negatives from their team, right? You can see that Julian Strother, even Bruce Brown, but Bruce Brown wasn't on this team. This is just what he, you know, what he is looking like when he was on the Raptors, or not the Raptors, he was on the Pelicans. So you can see the Pelicans were one of the worst teams last year because of all of the injuries, but Bruce Brown is the worst one on the team here from a net negative standpoint. And by the way, I didn't put, you know, the, I put the best for the net rating. So if you look at the net rating for offensive rating, Nikola Jokic, 125.6. That's sixth best in the NBA. Okay, that's a ridiculous freaking number right there, right? And you can see Shai was not that far behind him, and he was 11th, okay? Then you go to the net rating, and again, Jokic is the leader of the net rating at his 42nd place at 10.5. Then you go down to the defensive rating and Jalen Pickett, who's, you know, not very used that much. He's at 109.7. That's 214th place. He's the only one on the bench that had a net rating that was positive. That's very interesting. Peyton Watson, who's probably widely considered one of their better bench players outside of Russell Westbrook, he had a net rating that was essentially zero because, you know, he defended and scored about the same, right? So that's essentially what that shows. But now they've added Jonas Valanciunas, who I think is going to be a great fit for this team, man.
I agree, but you've heard the rumors, right? He got offered a contract replacement.
Yes.
They expect him to show up. So I don't know if that's been resolved yet, but there is a possibility he won't play.
There is a possibility. They want him to honor his contract, right? Or being on this team, right?
They're expecting him to honor his contract, yes.
Yes. So that's interesting, brother. All right, man. If there's anything else you want to point out?
No, just the addition of Cameron Johnson, obviously the trade.
Cameron Johnson, quarter, yeah.
Michael Porter Jr., so, you know, he's going to be we'll see what kind of impact he has. You know, when I see a team that comes from when I see a player that comes from a lesser team, you know, I tend to look at these stats and imagine that it should only improve in this offense. You know, Jokic is going to make him better. So yes. I would imagine that all of his numbers will go up, defense will go down and offense and net rating will go up.
Let's move on to the next one. Minnesota Timberwolves, right? Look at their overall net rating for every player on that team is positive. Okay. Yes. Except for Joan Behringer, right? Now the other guy that I haven't added on here is Rocco Sekarski. He's another guy that's on this team. I didn't put him down here because I think that he's probably going to be behind Joan Behringer. This is what the projected starting five is, as well as the projected rotation. You can see your boy Rob Dillingham. Yep. He's probably going to get some time now. And he looks pretty good in summer league, man. He's looking like he's going to be a player. Terrence Shannon is another one who's looking like a player. You know, so this team, you know, if those guys show up, this team is going to be a problem. Naz Reid, you know, he's not a sixth man of the year this year, but he was last year. But you can see their whole starting lineup is pretty much intact. Now, it's going to be interesting to see if Rob Dillingham is going to penetrate the starting lineup. He's possible.
Well, that was my thing, Eddie. I was going to say that. I think for this to be a successful season by the end of the year, he's got to be the starter.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, hopefully, but you know, and by the way, the one thing I did forget is that I forgot to put the rankings for each of these. So that's something I forgot to do for this particular piece. So, anything you want to bring up before we go on to the next one?
No. You brought up Terrence Shannon. He's having a pretty good summer league. Rob Dillingham is as well. Yeah. Naz Reid just signed a new contract. So
yep.
For the foreseeable future, Mike Conley's a year older. You know, I think it's time he needs to start coming out of that starting lineup.
I think so too. I mean, Rob Dillingham is a good player, man. And, you know, he like I said last year, I thought he should have been drafted before Reed Shepard. Shall see, right? Shepard was the highest. So far, he's been the highest point getter from a fantasy perspective in summer league so far this year.
Yep.
He had like 61.7 points or something like that for fantasy points, which is ridiculous. All right, man. Let's go on to the next one because we got like four divisions to go through. We got to go through this somewhat kind of quickly. We're at almost an hour, so we're going to be closer to an hour and a half. All right, man. So this is a team that I thought was going to be an up-and-coming team. I still think they're going to be an up-and-coming team because, you know, essentially their team is, for the most part, staying intact, although they did went ahead and I forgot who else they drafted this year, but Yang Hansen, right?
Yeah.
He's going to be.
Which I think he's going to crack that rotation. Eddie.
Yeah. So Robert Williams right now is projected to be the backup center, but you know we know about Robert Williams, the guy's been hurt more than playing lately, right? So in comes Yang Hansen, and we'll see, man. But you can see that the complexion of this team is interesting because for a team that didn't necessarily make the playoffs. You know, they're kind of like, I think they were like the 12th best seeded team. And, that complexion doesn't look that bad. You look at the main reason is the complexion looks decent is because of Drew Holiday. And I went dark here for a second.
Correct.
Drew Holiday's, you look at his offensive rating, he's the best on the team at 75th best in the NBA.
Correct.
And then you can see there's net rating at 64 at 8.9. That makes, his addition is going to make this team a lot better, man. So
yeah, I think you're a year late on your prediction, but I think this coming season the Trailblazers are going to
they're going to be a problem.
I think they're going to be sniffing, the play-in.
I think so too, bro. I think so too. But I see that their offensive and net ratings, they're all going to go up. I would say they're probably going to be more towards the 13-14 range, for all of that. And that's still pretty good, right? Especially coming out of the West. So let's go to the next one, bro.
All right, let's go to the next one.
All right, Utah Jazz. I think this might be my last one, but for this division. So this is the Northwest division of the Western Conference. So Utah Jazz, you can see, they're near the bottom on all analytics for their team, right? You can see they're 24th, 30th, and 20th, respectively, from offensive to net rating at the top. But you can see that their players, they have some decent, somewhat talent, not great talent, but not superstar potential talent. Ace Bailey, we shall see. You've already brought up Kyle Filipowski, right? You know, he's shown to be a way better player than when he first showed out in Summer League last year. We were talking about, like, man, this guy looks kind of lost. And then you kind of started saying, actually, he looks kind of decent. He's actually he's a decent player, right? You brought that up, and look at him. And he's actually been playing decent this year. He's actually looking pretty damn good this year, man. Correct. So, you know, you got three center. Well, he's more of a power forward. But then they brought in Yusuf Nurkic, right? They gave up Colin Sexton for Yusuf Nurkic, which is kind of a questionable move. But, you know, they have their reasons to do this. But if you look at their overall team, they've got Walter Clayton now, who's now, you know, they have like three players from the draft. Ace Billy, Walter Clayton, and there was another guy, I forgot this guy's name. I forgot his name. Anyway, can't remember everybody. Yeah. But this team, I think, you know, they're still going to be near the bottom. But you can see that their overall kind of complexion, they're still kind of one of the worst in the NBA from even their team, the team as well as their player analytics. Yep. But I see this team getting slightly better. But we're, you know, for the next show before the preseason starts, we're going to have to go through our predictions for everybody, all the seedings, right, before the season begins. Yep. That'll be sometime, you know, in, you know, September's time frame before the season starts.
So. I think their season is going to – Ace Bailey is going to play a huge part. And I think –
Yeah, and you know, depending on his health, you know, he could be vying for, you know, the rookie of the year.
Correct.
Could be, right? Because he's going to get a lot of playing time, man. He's, you know, but it really depends on how well this team does, right? Yep. So, all right, bro. I think you're next, man.
Yep. All right. So here I'm going first here with my division, Boston Celtics here. Obviously had a disappointing season and a season of a lot of changes. We just on Portland just saw Drew Holiday. That trade was with Anthony Simons. So that was that trade. That was that swap. As you don't see Jason Tatum on here because he's not expected to play next year. There's quite a bit of new names. Niang is new. Garza is new. You know, they got a couple of things going on here. But as you can see, their best offensive player was Jaylen Brown, 18th in the league at 121 points. Yep. Their best defensive player is Baylor Shireman.
That's interesting. But the sample size is small, but that's interesting.
Yeah, exactly. And then Derek White is their best net rating, right? 45th at 10.2 points now. I think, you know, it's going to be a year of growth for them next year. It's going to be an interesting year. I don't think they're going to be horrible. You know, I think they're going to be good, but, you know, they're going to be probably middle to lower of the pack would be
so
my
– So you think they're going to be, like, fighting for a play-in? Or do you think
that no, I'm like thinking they're going to be in the six to eight range, somewhere in there.
Eighth range is playing, bro.
Oh, that's true. I guess so. Yeah, you'll be in the play-in, but they'll be the home team in the play-in, I guess. You know, an opportunity to have to lose two, right? That's the benefit of being the seventh or eighth seed. But I'm thinking like somewhere around six, seven, or eight is where they're going to be.
Isn't it interesting how the team doesn't look as daunting?
No.
The way it looks right now, because it looks, I mean, there's guys that are not very well, I mean, these guys are journeymen, right? If you look at Luka Garza, he hasn't really played that much.
Exactly.
Georges Niang, he's actually a decent player. Actually came out of the Warriors, by the way. Did you know that?
Yes.
I think it's Iowa State. And then, you know, Peyton Pritchard is the defending sixth man of the year. Baylor Shireman's unproven, right? Sam Hauser. You know, he's kind of a role depending on the situation.
Correct.
Kieta is another one who comes in depending on the situation, right? Anthony Simons is a player. We shall see, right?
Correct.
Those three.
And you know, and the person you don't see here, which I guess is still possible, although everyone said he's not going to come back, is Al Horford. Al Horford's still unsigned. He's a free agent, so he's not in here. I guess that he could come back, I guess. That's a possibility, but – as of right now, you know, he's either going to retire from what I'm hearing or he's going to be a Warrior. That's the two options that I've heard, but, you know, you never know.
Yep.
All right, moving on to the New York Knicks, a team that I think has a prime opportunity to go back exactly where they left off and potentially go to the NBA Finals next year. Not a big change, so no changes in their starting five. Jalen Brunson. Oh, did I not? Okay, yeah, I did. So Jalen Brunson, Bridges, Hart, OG Anunoby, and Karl Anthony Towns, all starters from last year. They do have a new coach. Karl Anthony Towns was the most prolific offensive player on there, 119.4 points per game, but that made him rank 39th. Mitchell Robinson, who is a key bench player and at times a starter, at least towards the playoffs last year, he was in the rotation as a starter. He's at 108.2 defensively. He ranked 144th. And then Miles McBride had the best net rating on the team at 7.1, 81st. One of the key differences that I think is going to be for the New York Knicks is the acquisition of Jordan Clarkson. So Jordan Clarkson, I think, you know, Eddie and I have, you know, I think we called out a couple of players, and Jordan Clarkson was one of them to go to someone like the Nuggets or go to someone like the Knicks. You know, this guy is instant offense, as you can, you know, although his numbers, I mean, he played with the Utah team last year. That wasn't very good. You know, but he's not a defensive player at all. I mean, he's an offensive player. And, you know, and with the new coach, we'll see how they play the rotations. But I think Jordan Clarkson is going to have a large impact. Him and Mitchell, at least those.
Bro, and check this out, man.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, people heard it here first, bro. They heard it here first that we thought Jordan Clarkson would be a great fit for the Knicks or the Nuggets, man. Yeah. And we were right.
Yeah.
We were right, man. So I want to call that out, that we called this out weeks ago, even before this even started.
Yes.
So I just wanted to kind of showcase some of our knowledge. I want to kind of brush off our, you know.
Yeah. Yep. And as you can tell, you know, for the Knicks, the starters are all in the positive net rating. The rotation is a little, you know, little mixed. But I think Jordan Clarkson is going to have a positive net rating, I think, going into the year. Mitchell Robinson, like I said, he had a positive net rating. He's good. And then Miles McBride. So, all right. Any questions on the Knicks there, Eddie?
No, bro. We brought up Jordan Clarkson. I think he's going to be a great fit for this team.
I think so, too.
He's going to be a problem, man. And Gershon Yubaseli is a good player, man. I think he's going to that bench looks way more promising now. I think they're going to be a problem. They're going to be fighting for the number one seed, man. Bottom line. They will.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be disappointed if they're not one or two.
They're going to be one. They're easily going to be one or two unless injury gets in the way.
Yes,
right?
Of course. All of this is with injury. Yeah, it's between them and Cleveland at this point.
Yeah, Cleveland and them are the top two picks.
Yeah.
I think the Knicks are going to overtake Cleveland, honestly. I think there's going to be a slight hangover from last year for Cleveland. That's my call.
Yeah, so, I agree. I like the Knicks this coming year. Yep. They got rid of, you know, as I said it in the last three seasons, Thibodeau, he's a good coach, but he wears them thin, and that's been my concern. And as long as the new coach doesn't follow that same formula, I think the Knicks are in a much better position to go farther.
Yep.
All right. Next, we have the Toronto Raptors. Speaking of an all-negative net rating, here's one of them. So as an overall net rating as a team, they were minus 4.1, which ranked them 24th, which is the lower quarter of the league. A couple of different changes coming into the season. Brandon Ingram, obviously, is a new acquisition. So Jacob Poeltl, I think he just re-signed a new contract, if I'm not mistaken. So that's pretty good. In terms of offensive, Jacob Poeltl was their best offensive player, which, as you can tell from an offensive rating perspective, isn't very high. He's the best, and he's ranked 251st.
Yeah.
You know,
crazy, man. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's kind of scary. But Scottie Barnes is their best defensive player, and again, not very high.
Yes.
At 239th.
And it just goes to show you how much the team's performance affects the player's performance, or vice versa, right?
Exactly. But the problem here, when you look at this just from a metrics perspective, is you don't see a ray of light, right? There's not a lot of change that's taken place. It's more, I mean, Brandon Ingram came in, and he, you know, obviously he came from the Pelicans, who weren't a very good team last year as well. Now, they weren't a good team because of injury. Toronto had some injury as well. Scottie Barnes got hurt, and there's been some injuries there. So we'll see how much that health plays a role. You know, I think they're going to be a better team, but you know, with some of these metrics, they've got a lot to overcome.
Yep, I agree. And you know what, bro? This is a team. I've said it before, and I'm gonna say it again this time. This team is going to be rising in a big way next year, man.
Yep.
I think that you're going to see them as probably one of the more improved teams when you compare them from last year to this year. They're going to move up, man, because, you know, Emmanuel Quigley missed a big portion of the year. Brandon Ingram has yet to play for him.
Correct.
Scottie Barnes is a very talented player. RJ Barrett was a good fit for him. Jakob Poeltl, I mean, that's a pretty decent starting five, man.
It is.
Right? And then you got, you know, Jamal Shedd, who was actually one of the standouts in summer league so far as well. Then you have Harold Dick, who's going to be emerging.
Don't call me Harry.
Yeah. you know, Mogbo, I mean, these guys are all.
And then they got, yeah, players. We got Colin Murray Boyles.
Yep, from this year. I mean, this team is, I'm just telling you right now, this team is a team to watch, man. They're going to be not a team that's going to be fighting for, you know, top six, but they're going to be someone to reckon with for playing, I think.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Eddie. There's no quick solutions here, but this is a team that the way it's currently constituted, Brandon Ingram aside, just because he's more of a veteran than everybody else, you know, they're growing together, right? So they do have the nucleus to maybe get better as a squad, you know, the next 2 to 3 seasons. But, yeah, I see what you – no, it's not a bad squad. I mean,
no, it's not.
They got good names there. They got good players. Scotty Barnes is a gamer, you know, and so, you know, we'll see how this goes. But, yeah, I mean, to me it's a matter of how quickly they get it, how quickly they gel, you know, how much they start trusting each other, those kind of things to start seeing some of that. You know, some of their teamwork payoff.
Yep.
Okay. Right. Moving on to the Brooklyn Nets. Another team that, outside of Michael Porter and De'Ron Sharp, were all in the negative. As you may recall, they drafted Igor Demin, in the first round, and that was, an unexpected draft pick. They thought that Igor was, you know, later round type of pick. But they picked him up. By the way, do you know how Igor's doing? Is Igor playing in the summer league?
He has been playing. He hasn't been like a standout, but he actually hasn't been. So he scored 38.6 points thus far, which is kind of near the bottom. I mean, we can only show the top 40 because our platform only allows 1,000 characters. I can fit everybody if I put their last name, but we kind of want to make it look somewhat professional, right? Yeah. So. But the Nets, dude, they had five draft picks, man. So, you know, all of them are playing. You have, Igor playing, and then you have Nolan Treor playing.
Correct.
You have, Danny Wolf, you know, you have, they had five players, man, in this draft, man. That's incredible, man. So, but yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, so obviously the new addition here, the tape for Cam Johnson was Michael Porter Jr. He came over from Denver. Him and De'Ron Sharp are the only ones that are in the plus net rating. So Michael Porter comes in immediately as the top net rated player at 133rd. Cam Thomas is the best offensive player, 122nd, 114.9 there. And then De'Ron Sharp was their best defensive rating, as you can see, ranked at 107. Like as mentioned, we've got Igor Demin, who's a rookie, so we're anticipating that he's going to be in the starting lineup. So that is something that, you know, obviously will impact their metrics going forward and impact them as a team. Nolan Treor is also looked to be part of the rotation as well as a backup point guard. So they've got a couple of things happening. I think that they're a slower build than some of.
Yeah, I agree. They don't scream Raptors to me.
No, exactly. I think that they're probably going to have a similar season to this year.
Yes.
But what you're looking for is the growth on some of these young players.
Yes. You want to see improvement, right? You want to see better than 28th offensive rating. You want to see better net rating of 26.
Correct.
You know, we want to see growth, right? And you know, they're building from the draft. And good for them to try and do that, man. You know,
I've had conversations about that. To me, that's the only way to build. You build through the draft.
And we shall see if they pick the right players. You know, time will tell, bro. Right?
Yeah. All right. And then last, I think this is my last one, is
the
Philadelphia 76ers. So they had an interesting season last year. For those that don't know, Paul George had some arthroscopic surgery. So he's unknown, but they don't think it's serious. But he's already under the knife, and the season hasn't even started.
I know, man. He's not the same, man. He's unfortunately just – his best years are behind him.
Exactly. Joel Embiid, I just read today that he's anticipated to be ready to start in the season, but we'll see what that means. He's got sort of a love-hate relationship with the Philadelphia fans right now, which anybody who knows sports, Philly fans can be tough. But I don't want to say they're fair, but they call out things that they see. They're not afraid to call out things that they see. You know, VJ Edgecombe, who's been having a very good summer league, we've got him predicted as the starting forward going in. You know, Jared McCain is the backup point guard, who had a nice season last year before he got hurt. Tyrese Maxey is the star on this team. Quentin Grimes is another one who's been playing better.
For sure. He had a standout year last year, man.
Exactly. So I think that they are, you know, I hate to put put it this way, but they need to figure out what they're going to do with Paul George and Joel Embiid before they can really start growing. You know,
yeah, and they might consider trading them in the middle of the season, right? You know, if they're not doing very well as a team, you know, and those guys are actually playing decent, why not trade? I mean, rebuild. Go for trade Joel Embiid, man. Trade him for a lot of draft picks, man.
Yeah, see what you can get. Right now, that's the problem. I don't know what you can get for them.
There's going to be teams that are going to want him, man. You know?
Well, yeah. There are. I think it depends on teams that are chasing a championship may do it, but we'll see. Yeah. In terms of the breakdown, you know, Tyrese Maxey's the highest rated offensive player on this team, ranked 155th. Joel Embiid is the highest rated defensive player on this team, ranked 200, which again aren't great numbers, but again they didn't have a great season. And then Jared McCain is the best of the negative, right? Ranked 305th. He's got the best net rating in terms of the negative. But here's yet another team that is all negatives in their net rating.
Yeah, dude. Isn't that crazy? We're a team that has Joel Embiid, Paul George, Tyrese Maxey, man.
Correct.
They're all negatives. That's
crazy.
Yeah,
that can happen. I mean,
I agree. It's amazing. You know,
I think we're going to learn really quick into the season, the first month or two, what kind of season the Sixers are going to have next year.
We shall see. I agree, man. I mean, we shall see.
Yeah, if they don't start off hot, it's going to be concerning.
Yep. You know? Yep.
All right, moving on. All right.
All right, so this is Mike, and now we're going into the Southwest Division of the Western Conference. So the next five slides will be me, and then Tuan will end it with the Central Division. All right, so the Houston Rockets, this team went ahead and made the biggest offseason transaction in bringing on Kevin Durant. And you can see Kevin Durant is the lowest as far as net rating on the team for their starting lineup, but that's because he brought in, you know, the team metrics from the Phoenix Suns onto this squad, you know, that is just – all positive except for Reed Shepard because, you know, it's a small sample size. Maybe that's the reason why he didn't play that much. I don't know, bro, but he's the only lone negative before Kevin Durant's arrival on this team, man. But, you know, this team is formidable. They are going to be a problem in the West, and they were the number two seed last season. They're going to be fighting for the number one seed for sure this season. It's going to be between them and the Oklahoma City Thunder. We shall see how hungry Oklahoma City Thunder are for this season, but this team is young and hungry, just like the Oklahoma City Thunder were, right? You know, it remains to be seen that, you know, whether or not, you know, I mean, Fred VanVleet had a pretty good season last year, even though I think his playoff was really, really good. He started shooting awesome. He was the only guy who could shoot on that team. But if they had one other guy who could shoot, I think they would have beat the Warriors, man, right? Especially if Kevin Durant was on that team, man. But now we're going to see. This team, their starting lineup looks legit, man. Look at that starting lineup. It's legit, dude, all right? Amen Thompson is an emerging two-way player, another Kawhi Leonard-like type player without the offense yet, right? Kawhi Leonard didn't have an offense either when he first started, you know, in the NBA, but he got it over time. This is the same mold. Amen Thompson is a defensive force and like a really good defensive player, right? And now he's going to develop the shot.
Yeah, that's the guy that's going to determine whether they're the first or the second seed.
That's a good call. I mean, because, yeah, he's that much of an impact player, man, right? Yep. So then they brought in Dorian Finney-Smith, which is a sneaky under-the-radar pick, man.
Right? Very good.
That's a very good transaction, bro, because they brought him from the Lakers. And, you know, he's a proven commodity because he's a very good two-way player. He can shoot the three at a pretty decent clip. And he plays defense like Carter Bryant, bro, right? Although Carter Bryant's, I think, way better. Like,
yes.
Dude, Carter Bryant's going to be a beast of a defensive player. And the Spurs are going to scare me, bro. Anyway, and the Spurs are part of this division. Yeah. All right. So, and of course, Steven Adams was newly signed, you know, to an extension. So, you know, this team is going to be a problem, man. And you can see they're all their net ratings. They're one of the best. And I forgot to put, you know, the best offensive net rating on the team. Oh, I did. Dorian Finney-Smith is their best offensive, offensive rating player at 40th. And then defense is Aaron Holiday. It was a small sample size, but that he was the best defensive player on this team. They now lost Dylan Brooks, right? He was one of their better defensive players. And then their best overall net rating player was Steven Adams, and 57th at 9.4. So, all right.
So one thing I will say, you know, with the trade of Green and Mr. Memphis over there, you just said his name and I forgot it already.
Dylan Brooks.
Yeah, Dylan Brooks. I one of the players during the playoffs last year that I didn't understand why he didn't play more was Tari Eason. I thought that dude was playing really well. I thought he had a nice smooth shot. And now with him, if this holds true and he's in the starting lineup, I think he's a good player. He's a good player. Yes. And I think that, you know, I think that's good. I think that's a good move.
I think they probably don't trust him to be a starter yet. I think they're probably slotting Dorian Finney-Smith, honestly, as a starter. That's what I think. But, you know, because, you know, you have, you know, three veterans, you know, with, you know, Dorian Finney-Smith, Kevin Durant, and Fred VanVleet. And then you have these two guys that are still young and up and coming, Alperen Sengun and Amen Thompson. Yeah. I think that's probably what Udoka is probably going to do, is probably put Dorian Finney-Smith. But, you know, this is what is projected as the starting lineup.
I know you got Reed Sheppard here listed as a shooting guard, but any chance you think he takes that starting role away from Fred VanVleet?
I don't think so. Not yet. All right, man. We can go on to the next one. Memphis Grizzlies. All right. You can see that this is one of the teams. I mean, you look at them, they were like the number two seed for a good portion of the season, right? Mm-hmm. And then all hell broke loose. Then, you know, Taylor Jenkins gets fired. Then, you know, just kind of turmoil. You know, there was something going on in that locker room, man. But even with all of that happening, their net rating as a team overall for all their players are all positive, right? Yep. Everyone on this team is positive. Now they're bringing Cedric Coward, right, who hasn't played in the Summer League yet. He has not played yet. Great interview, by the way. This guy's got a lot of personality. I don't know if you've seen his interview, but he's got a lot of personality, man. Right. But this team, their starting lineup, they're a very defensive-minded team. You're going to see, you know, with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope coming on there, Jalen Wells, who's also playing in the Summer League, and then Jaren Jackson, those three are anchors from a defensive standpoint, along with Zach Edey. This team is built to be a problem. Now, what's going to be interesting is if all these other acquisitions, this other acquisition of Ty Jerome coming over from the Cleveland Cavaliers, you know, I think it's a great pickup. You know, that's a sneaky pickup. Then you got Vince Williams. You got G.G. Jackson, who's also been playing in the Summer League. He's actually showing pretty well as well. Santi Aldama. This team is very deep, man. Brandon Clark is he's always hurt though out of Gonzaga, but you know. If he's out there playing, he's actually a pretty good player. I think this team is going to be, you know, a team that's going to be fighting for the top, you know, five or six seed, in my opinion. You know, the Warriors, it's going to be between them and the Warriors, honestly, with this team being a lot younger. So I just think, you know, this team is a problem. They're going to be, you know, someone that's going to be to reckon with, especially if they stay, you know, healthy. And especially if all of their locker room dynamics don't disrupt the team, right? So,
one thing I'd like to see is Triple J be a little less perimeter oriented on offense, and you know, that was one thing that in the playoffs last year, that this past season, bothered me. He was too perimeter oriented. I want him in there. That dude,
yeah, he should be down low. Absolutely, I agree with you, bro.
Yeah,
I agree, man.
Moving on,
just moving on, bro. All right, so Dallas Mavericks. Here it is, Cooper, the fix, right? Cooper Flagg is now in their starting lineup.
Yes.
You know, they brought in D'Angelo Russell. You can see
who's going to break everything. Watch, he's going to break.
Right. But you can see right now they have Derek Lively as projected as a starter. I don't think that's true. I think it should be probably Daniel Gafford.
Yeah, I think so.
This is what ESPN's projecting, by the way. So a lot of these lineups that I've put in here are coming from ESPN. I think Daniel Gafford's probably going to be the starter. But you can see this team is, even without Kyrie Irving, this team is a problem, man. All right? This team, you know, Anthony Davis, Cooper Flagg, D'Angelo Russell, even though he's not a force defensively, he's still a pretty damn good player, right? And then their bench, dude, Daniel Gafford, PJ Washington, Najee Marshall, Max Christie,
correct,
Dante Exum. I mean, this team is deep, dude.
Solid bench.
This is a solid team, man. So, you know, Nico Harrison, he still has, you know, I think your short helped, dude. It helped save this job, dude, because you said he doesn't deserve to be traded because he was just doing what a good soldier would do, right? He got his marching orders and he stays, dude. Yeah. You know, of course, getting the number one pick,
he didn't get Oliver North.
Right. He didn't get Oliver North, man. Yep. But this team is an up and coming team. You can see that Derek Lively is their best net rating team at 73rd best in the NBA. And he's also the 94th best. He's their best defensive rated team. A defensive rated player on the team, and then Daniel Gafford being their best offensive rated team, offensive rated player on the team. So very interesting analytics.
And you know, one thing that, you know, when Kyrie is back, this is a much better suited team, in my opinion, for Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
Because this is much more basketball sharing team.
Yes.
Than when Luka was on there, right?
Luka. I agree.
And so, and Clay has himself a new lady. I don't know if you saw Meg.
I did. I did. My daughter's the one who told me about it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
She's a big Megan Thee Stallion fan. So
yes. So we'll see if all that newfound love doesn't improve some of his game, and he's less grumpy and on the dark side like he's been for the last couple of seasons. We'll see.
Yeah.
But I do think the change. D'Angelo Russell's still a little bit of a ball hog. You know, he's not a true kind of pass first point guard or anything like that, but it should be better for Clay. And of course, that front court, I mean, whether it's Gafford or Lively, like, oh my God.
That's a problem, man. And you got Anthony Davis?
That's going to be a serious problem.
They're a problem, man.
They're a very well balanced team in terms of size and ability.
Yep. I agree, brother. I agree. All right. Let's go on to the next one.
Here it is.
Aforementioned San Antonio Spurs. Now, you know, The metrics for the team, you know, are kind of near the bottom, but that's a lot because Victor Wembanyama missed a big part of the second half of the season because of his blood clots. Now, he has been cleared from his blood clots to play, and, you know, now they've added Dylan Harper to the team. They've also added Carter Bryant to the team, you know, and he's not on the bench right now, which he should be. He was listed behind some of these guys. I don't know. Based on what I saw in the summer league, dude, that defense travels. Defense gets you on the floor. I think this guy is going to penetrate the rotation immediately, bro. That's my call, right? Carter Bryant is a problem. All right. So you can see that, you know, as far as offensive rating, you have Luke Kornet, the newly acquired Luke Kornet from the Boston Celtics, right? This team, if you look at their overall team with Carter Bryant in there, this team is up and coming, bro.
I agree.
Big time, okay?
I agree.
They are up and coming. I mean, you have Stephon Castle coming off the bench. You have, you know, Dylan Harper, who's newly acquired. You have De'Aaron Fox as their point guard. You have Victor Wembanyama as their center. Harrison Barnes is, you know, he's a proven guy. And Devin Vassell, he's also a proven, decent player, right?
Yep.
This team is just, they're going to be on the rise. They're going to be, I think, fighting for the seventh or eighth seed, in my opinion, man. So
I think they have the potential to go higher. And all you need to hear is they've got Stephon Castle, the rookie of the year, coming off the bench.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree, brother. I agree. So anyway, when we make our predictions for the seedings, they're going to be, you know, someone that I'm going to be really thinking about how to place these guys in, because
me too. Assuming that Victor Wembanyama is healthy the whole season.
Yep.
You know, De'Aaron Fox is, you know, obviously an impact point guard. I mean, this has got the makings of another potential dynasty in a couple of years. I mean,
it's got
a lot of the pieces.
They have pieces, man, and they're like very good. It's just going to be interesting to see if these pieces mesh. That's what we're going to find out, right?
I'm going to tell you something, Eddie. Texas is scary next year.
Oh yeah, with Houston and the Spurs, right?
And Dallas.
Yeah, you're right. Those three.
We may have the NBA champion coming out of Texas this year.
That's not a bad call, brother.
Yeah.
Not a bad call.
Yeah.
All right, man. Let's go on to the next one, bro.
Moving on. All right.
All right. So this might be my last one. So
the
Pelicans, dude. Look at how bad. Dude, it's incredible how injuries deplete a team. Okay. They're all of their players, Trey Murphy, DeJounte Murray, Zion Williamson. All were hurt. Herb Jones, they were all hurt for a portion of the season, right? And CJ McCollum, who's no longer on the team, they've essentially made that trade to bring in Jordan Poole, you know, who is a younger version of CJ McCollum, who actually could drive and score, right? He's probably not as consistent as CJ McCollum from an outside shooting standpoint, but I would probably classify Jordan Poole as a better overall offensive player. As a better overall player, I would probably say CJ McCollum is slightly better, even at his advanced age. But Jordan Poole, you know, when he plays next year, he's going to be, 3 years removed from the incident, you know, and maybe he'll be better with his mentals, you know, from, you know, overcoming that issue with Draymond Green, right? But the guy's super talented, man. He showed that, right? He's an NBA champion. The Warriors would not have won that championship without him.
I agree.
So even though he's the worst from a net rating standpoint, and that's because he came from the Wizards, who are the worst net rating team in the NBA, that's the reason why you're seeing it. But you can see Herb Jones is taking up the defensive and net rating as the best on the team. But you can see at 330th place for the defensive rating, that's, you know, one of the worst. Over 500-something players in the NBA. And then you have Herb Jones being 259th, but the best net rating on the team is still negative. And then Zion Williamson.
He just signed an extension this year, too.
Yeah. He's a good player. Man, I like that kid. He's a good player.
Me, too.
So, and Zion Williamson, it all depends on how this guy goes, man. I mean, he's going to miss a part of the season. We all know that, right? We all know he's going to miss it, but hopefully not as many games as he has in the past. So
I agree. And then, you know, DeJounte Murray was pretty much hurt the whole season last season. And you and I both love this pickup for the Pelicans. We thought it was a really good pickup.
But he got hurt in the first week or whatever it was.
Yeah. We think highly of DeJounte Murray. And, you know, we'll see, you know, with a whole season under his, you know, hopefully with playing a season under his belt. This team should be better. On paper, they should be better.
For sure. Yeah. I agree, bro.
It should be a playoff competing level team.
Yep. I agree, brother.
All right.
All right, man. So we got yours, man. This is the last division.
Here we
all go. Right?
My pick last year for the NBA Finals champion, the Cleveland Cavaliers. So they haven't changed too much. As we saw earlier, they lost Ty Jerome. They did pick up Lonzo Ball. But their starting five are intact with Darius Garland, Donovan Mitchell, Max Strus, Evan Mobley, and Jared Allen. I think another year of Evan Mobley of experience is going to do well. I really thought he took a hell of a jump from season one to season two. You know, he's a hell of a player. You know, in terms of metrics here, Darius Garland was their top offensive player, ranked number 8 at 100.
That's serious. That's legit, dude. The next slides, I'll show you how that compares against everybody else, right?
Yeah, okay.
In the top, you know, top five.
Exactly. Then you have Donovan Mitchell right there, his backcourt mate with the 40th best net rating on the team. And this is yet another team. Was Larry Nance with Cleveland last year?
No. He was with the Atlanta Hawks.
Correct. So he's the only one with a negative rating, and that's coming from another team.
Yep.
So in terms of defensive rating, Sam Merrill ranked at 108th. But overall, a pretty good team. I think they're going to lose a little something with losing Ty Jerome and getting Lonzo Ball. Lonzo Ball's a good player, but he's been hurt, so it's kind of hard to determine, you know, where he's at right now. So that's going to be something that we're going to take a look at. DeAndre Hunter was a trade they did in the middle of the season last year, which was a great pickup for them. He's really been a good player. You know, obviously Larry Nance here is stated as the backup center, but clearly you could have Evan Mobley move into that spot. You could have, you know, there's a couple things that you can do in the big man position here. But overall, you know, I expect them to be competing for the number one or number two seed, as I mentioned earlier with the Knicks. They should have a good year. We'll just see if, you know, the pickup of like Lonzo Ball is going to make that big of a difference. We'll see.
Let me ask you something. Do you think Tyrese Proctor, he becomes ultimately the backup point guard, because that's, you know, he was their draft pick this year. And, you know, he's a decent player, but, you know, he's a rookie.
Yeah, I think it's going to depend on Lonzo's health.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think he's a good player. Lonzo's a good player.
He is a good player. I wouldn't mind him on the Warriors, honestly.
No, exactly. But if he's going to be in and out of the lineup, then, yeah, I think Proctor's going to take those minutes.
Yeah. All right, man.
All right, moving on. Next, we have the second-place team of the year last year, Indiana Pacers, who had a disappointing last game. Obviously, Tyrese Halliburton, who's one of their big studs, isn't even on this list because he tore his Achilles and has already stated, or the media has already stated, he won't play next year. This was a very good team in the latter part of the year last year. They were hovering around the 7th or 8th seed, if I'm not mistaken, for most of the year, and then they started kind of catching up, and I remember Eddie – kept saying, I think they're going to pass. I don't remember who they're going to pass, but they kept going, these guys are on fire. And they took that fire and went through the whole playoffs and did really well. Obviously they got most of their players, Nembhard, Mathurin, Nesmith, and Siakam. Tony Bradley is at this point, the replacement for Miles Turner, who left to go to play in Milwaukee. TJ McConnell, who I think is one of the most underrated players in the league. I mean, that dude is a menace. Yes. You know, Obi Toppin, who played well during the postseason, he's on the bench, you know. So they've got a good team. I think obviously they're going to drop from compared to last year. I mean, you know, their point guard there, why do I freeze up on names here, Eddie?
Tyrese Halliburton.
Yeah, Tyrese Halliburton. Thank you. I said his name earlier, and then I say it again, and I forget. Getting old sucks. Tyrese Halliburton, obviously losing him for the season is going to have a big impact. I think they're going to probably hover somewhere in the 5th, 6th, 7th seed. Maybe have one series win in the playoffs, maybe. But overall, they're going to miss Halliburton too much. They're going to Turner too much. So we'll see what happens here in terms of whether Tony Bradley is the center for the whole season, or whether they, speaking of someone like Embiid, Joel Embiid, like this is a
he'd be a great fit. Why not? Right?
Right? Yeah.
This team is too fast for him, bro.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? This team is way too fast for him.
Well, we saw what like really fast shape. Looks like in the Olympics, Eddie. When Curry kept running up and down the court, he was like, and Embiid was like, "What's going on? I'm just gonna be defense all time." Remember that word, little? I'll be all time defense.
But dude, hey, real quick, I want to bring up Isaiah Jackson. Actually, he's on this team too. He might take over the starting center role. He might.
You think so?
He might. I mean, he had a torn Achilles too.
And just to note, they did also re-sign James Wiseman.
They did.
Yes, which is also a possibility. So we'll see. I mean, they've got some possibilities. I mean, there's some things that are aren't figured out yet, but they got some options.
Dude, I'm glad that James Wiseman is going to get another shot, because I need him to really show out, because I don't want to lose that bet to my brother-in-law, dude.
Yeah.
He's got to start showing out now.
Yeah. The good thing is he's still what? He's got to be like 22 years old right now?
He's real. He's like 22 or 23. He's right around there.
Still
he's too young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on to the Milwaukee Bucks, who set the trend of buying out players in Damian Lillard. To the tune of about $130 million so that they could afford the aforementioned Miles Turner. A couple of changes here. Well, Kyle Kuzma was a trade that they did middle of the season.
Wasn't a good fit, dude. It was not a good fit.
No, it's not a good fit.
At all.
Kyle Kuzma is a very...
He's too passive, man.
Yeah, yeah.
For this team.
I agree. Giannis is obviously the centerpiece here. There's been a lot of... Well, the Miles Turner... move was done in an attempt to make sure that Giannis
to save him.
Yeah, to keep him here. And as he, at 118 points, he's the 42nd best offensive player last year. Overall, Milwaukee did not have a great season last year. They were just okay. He's 77th with his net rating at 7.2. And then AJ Green, he's the best defensive player here at 122 points, or ranked at 122nd. Overall, just Kyle Kuzma and Taurean Prince had negative net ratings. Everybody else was, for the most part, just hovering right around the Mendoza line, if you will.
Yeah, right, the Mendoza line.
with Giannis and AJ Green being kind of spearheading that net rating.
Right.
But overall, with the Miles Turner losing Lillard, we'll see how that impact is. You and I have talked about it twice now, or at least I have. Drew Holiday, when they let him go, I thought they let go of the heart and soul of the team, the championship caliber.
Yep.
Boston did the same thing now, and I feel that they did the same thing again. Drew Holiday won a championship with the Bucks, then won one with the Celtics.
Yes.
It would be hell of interesting if he manages to win one with the Portland Trail
Blazers. Yeah, I mean, that would be awesome.
That'd be a hell of a hell of a goal, but
for sure.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, for those Warriors fans, he was a player that played for the Warriors for a minute, and then Bobby Portis, which I believe also signed an extension, if I'm not mistaken, this offseason.
Yep, and one of the players that I wanted to bring up is that Cole Anthony has been claimed off the waiver.
That's right. Thank you.
Yeah. So he is being considered now the starting point guard.
Yes.
And having Kevin Porter come off the bench. Which
correct.
I think is a better fit, because Kevin Porter is a streaky player. I mean, he's actually a decent player. He came out of USC. He does pretty well from a fantasy perspective. He's one of these guys that, I kind of latched on, when he was not playing for the Clippers, but playing for the Rockets. He was a guy that, he performed pretty well, I mean, from a fantasy standpoint, because he's really streaky. He can shoot at times, and he can score at, whenever. And that's what the Bucks need. That's why they're probably putting him as someone to come off the bench, to kind of help, help the team when Giannis is not on the floor, right? That's probably a better place for him to be a backup. So I think Cole Anthony is a better fit.
I agree. Thanks for bringing that up, because That hasn't been confirmed yet. That's still.
There was news that he got claimed by the Bucks that he wants to go to the Bucks. I don't know.
Correct, but yeah, I don't think he signed anything.
Yeah, I don't think so. That's where he wants to go.
But you're right, which would take Ryan Rollins potentially out of the rotation. But yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Moving on to the Detroit Pistons, another up-and-coming team. So this was my counterpart to Eddie's Portland Trailblazers last year, which I thought, you know, Detroit had a pretty good team. They ended up playing really well. I thought a call here and there, a play here and there, they could have beat the Knicks. I mean, it was that tight of a series when they played the Knicks. You know, they had a, you know, interestingly enough, if I'm not mistaken, one of the final plays in that series was Malik Beasley fumbling a ball. Or no, it's not Malik Beasley. What's his name? The guy that's under indictment for gambling.
Oh, indicted for gambling? Oh, yeah, that is him.
Malik Beasley. He fumbled the ball away. So I don't know. I'm not saying conspiracy or anything, but that's an interesting thing.
he bet on himself to make a turnover at that time. Anyway,
exactly. In terms of their metrics, Caris LeVert is their top rated offensive player at 100.
He's newly acquired too.
Yeah,
that's coming from the Atlanta Hawks.
Correct. Yep. Good pickup there. And then Marcus Sasser is their best defensive player, ranked 119th. And then again, Caris LeVert, the best net rating on the team. I think, you know, that this is also an up and coming team.
Oh, for sure.
You know, this is one of the teams that I have ahead of the Celtics this season. When I do my rankings, I think.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I think that they'll be higher than the Celtics. I don't know where they're going to go, but I'm seeing them somewhere in the 4-5 slot, somewhere in there. I've got high aspirations.
I'm not mad at that, Ren.
Yeah,
I'm not mad at that. That's not a bad call. You give me an idea to maybe rank them around there too, man. I have to kind of analyze it and figure it out.
But this is going to be a fun team to watch. I'm going to enjoy watching them. You know, as long as even when you watch Beast Sue lose it like every third game and try to go kill seven people, you know. As you mentioned, they picked up Caris LeVert. They also picked up Duncan Robinson from the Miami Heat.
Yep.
He's a little bit of a sniper there, so that's, you know, some more shooting. Ronald Holland, you know, I thought he was going to be a little more in play than he has been. He's been sort of like he hasn't been a great defensive player, but he's been kind of a pest on defense. Yep. I've seen him be kind of pest-like.
And he showed out in summer league so far. He's been showing out, dude. He's been playing in the league very well.
He's a player that might be close to, you know, Tobias Harris is an older player. I don't think he's got enough to replace him this season per se. But obviously, I think that's the goal, right, to get him in that slot long term. And then Jalen Duren, he's a monster, right? That dude's a monster, and I think he'll only continue to get better.
Yep.
All right, any comments or anything here, Eddie?
No, man, that's good, man. We're at an hour and 38, and this is the last team. And then
this is the last one, your Chicago Bulls. So had a little bit of a rough – I mean, they made it into the play-in, so they weren't horrible. Their overall net rating was 20th, which at negative 1.6 isn't great. In terms of the overall stats, you know, Josh Giddey, he's in the same boat as Jonathan Kuminga. I think he's eligible for an extension. I don't think anything's happened. Kobe White is kind of their I would call it, you know, their most prized trade piece, most prized talked about guy, but he's a good player. Matis Pucelis, who was on my team last year.
He's played well in the summer league too, man.
Yep. Yeah, he's playing well as well. So he's now in the power forward slot as a starter. Nikola Vucevic is in there as well. Overall, as you can see, an overall net rating of negatives. Obviously, that's indicative of what they were as a team. Isaac Okoro basically was their best offensive, defensive, and net rating player on the team.
Yeah.
That's
what happens when you come from the Cleveland Cavs, man.
Exactly. When you come from the Cleveland Cavaliers, you're going to be the best player on there. And then Noah Senge is their rookie. So, you know, we'll see how he, and then Zach Collins, backup center. And really, you know, I don't, like, in terms of me thinking Chicago Bulls, I don't know if they've done enough. We got to see how, you know, if Giddey definitely got better.
Way better.
Past season, you know, and if Bucelis can improve, you know, I think that they might have something. But at this point, I'm going to rank them in the lower half of the of the conference.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's a good quarter. I think so. I think they're going to be on the lower half too. I mean, everybody else got better than this team.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
So yeah, they're going to slide a little bit. Not huge, but they're going to be roughly about the same as where they were last year.
Correct.
So yeah. So.
All cool, right. Man. We that's everything.
We did it. No, we got the. Do you have any more slides after that? Yeah, there we go.
Sorry, yeah, apologies.
So what I wanted to show here, and unfortunately it didn't get lined up here, man. I don't know if you can edit that. You know, I don't know. Maybe you can edit the other one. Or you can't. You can't edit it, right? You have to come off the screen and to do that. But anyway. Right.
Can't edit live, yeah.
So what I wanted to show here is, you know, we were kind of showing all of the analytics from the players, you know, but what I wanted to show is, you know, some of the players that were in the analytics, some of them were not starters or guys that got a lot of minutes, right? So what I did is I wanted to go ahead and show you the actual rankings with, you know, players that actually were in the rotation, were actually getting a lot of minutes, right? So that you can see that it's all skewed. So you can see, for example, in the defensive rating, Alex Caruso was the number one guy for all players who got a lot of minutes. So that goes to show you he was 48th in the entire NBA. But it goes to show you that 1 through 47 were players who didn't play that much, right? Yep. So the sample size was not huge and not big enough for those 47 other players to be really considered the top players. So I went ahead and just skewed this a little bit and pulled out the players that actually got minutes. So you can see the top 10. Look at Brandon Podziemski, dude. He made the top 10. And he's actually 70th in the NBA according to that list that, you know, we pulled out from this, right? But you can see Jalen Williams, OKC. There's 1, 2, 3, 4 people, 40% of this list is from OKC, okay? Yeah. Jalen Williams, Alex Caruso, Isaiah Joe, Kenrich Williams. These guys are all rotational pieces for the OKC Thunder, the defending champs. You can see that the only real guys who got a lot of playing time here outside of those guys were probably Nicholas Batum. He's actually a guy who gets a lot of minutes for the Clippers. And then Jalen Suggs, before he got injured, he's a starter for Orlando, but he got injured, right? So that sample size is kind of small. But Brandon Podziemski, dude, he plays a lot of minutes, right? So he's actually a top 10 player defensive in the NBA, which is very interesting, right?
No, I like these stats.
Yeah, dude, very interesting, man.
We need to find a way to filter out minutes played.
I haven't figured that out, man. So I manually have to do it, but it's all right, man. I don't mind.
Yeah, that's a little bit much. Was there another slide for this?
Yeah. There's no more after that? Oh, there we go. Offensive. All right. Yeah. So offensive rating, Nikola Jokic was the number one guy, 125.6. You can see, but that according to the list, he was sixth best according to that list because the other 1 through 5, they were actually small guys who hardly played, right?
They played 10 minutes and scored, you know,
Played like 5 games, 6 games, whatever it is, right? They didn't play that. Their sample size was too small to be considered in this list. But you can see, you know, all of these guys are all big minute guys. All of them, the only guys that are not big minute guys that are rotational pieces were Isaac Okoro, and then you also have Luke Kornet at number 10, right? But everybody else is a starter. Okay, Nikola Jokic, Darius Garland is actually number 2 in the NBA from an offensive rating standpoint. Christian Brown, look at this. Crazy. They have 1, 2, 3, 4 Denver Nuggets in the top 10.
That's the Joker effect, dude.
That is the Joker effect, man. Isn't that crazy, bro? I mean, 4 of the top 10 offensive rating players come from the Denver Nuggets, okay? Right. But you can see how skewed it is, right? The Luke Kornet being in the top 10, he was actually 17th because there's other 7 players that actually, you know, didn't get as many minutes, but they were higher than him from an offensive rating standpoint.
Yeah.
The one I find
fascinating here is Jared Allen, who's really known as a defensive player.
Yeah.
But 8th ranked on offensive rating. That's pretty interesting.
It's crazy. I know,
yeah.
Huh?
Isn't that true?
Yeah. And Isaac Okoro is the same thing. He's not really an offensive beast. Defensive beast, right?
Yeah.
On that team, he was, you know, from relatively speaking, against everybody else in the NBA, coming from a defensive-minded team like the Cleveland Cavaliers, he's going to rank pretty high against everybody
else. Yeah, so, if you thought anyone from Cleveland's going to be here, would be Donovan Mitchell.
You would think.
That's the top 10.
Yeah. So, all right, brother. And then let's go on to the last one. So this is the last one, net rating, okay? You can see that the number one net rating guys, look at how many OKC Thunder there are, bro. It's everybody except one. Luke Kornet is the only one that's not. He's the only one. He's 6th, and he's for the San Antonio Spurs now, but those numbers have come from the Boston Celtics. But I wanted to go ahead and put the new team that he's on. But you look at OKC's, dude. OKC's net rating, they dominate the top 10. That's the reason why they're defending champs.
Which makes sense because they were the highest rated net rating team in the history of the NBA. So
historical.
That makes sense.
It's historical, yeah. Right? So but you can see how much of an offset there is, right? You know, top 10, you know, he's actually 26. Isaiah Hartenstein, number 10, is Isaiah Hartenstein at 13, and that's 26th best in the NBA because there's 25 other players, you know, ahead of him. You know, including these guys that you see here.
Correct.
But there's, you know, there's other guys there that got less minutes, but their net rating was higher, right? Yeah. I think the best net rating number I saw was like 40. It was like a 40. That's crazy, dude. That's not realistic, right? So that's why I pulled that out. It didn't make sense to put them up there, man.
Yep.
So, dude, that's it, bro. We did it, man. So we went ahead and we went a little longer than we thought. And by the way, bro, we actually did end up going live, man. I told John and William that we're actually live, right? And I thought they told us it wasn't going to be live, but there's people who came on here. Hey, for those of you who are on here listening to us, we really appreciate it. It's kind of late for a lot of people out there, especially for the East Coasters. If you're up and listening to us, thank you. All right. But anyway, we are now, we're going to go ahead and essentially summarize. We talked about the Las Vegas Summer League, some of the standouts, some of the disappointments. You can see the little ticker on the bottom. We ranked the top 40 so far in the Summer League for Las Vegas only. We're going to continue doing that for the next show. Next show is not going to be next week because Tuan is going to be on vacation. So we're going to come back here on the – let's see. Next week's going to be the 23rd, so it's going to be the 30th. So the 30th is when we're going to come back here, and that will probably be our last show. And then until September. But we went ahead and talked about the Summer League. Then we went over the rest of the analytics from a team and, also a player standpoint for the Northwest Division, the Atlantic Division, the Southwest Division, as well as the Central Division. Those are the four that we covered. We hope that you found that, interesting because I thought it was, you know, seeing all the different players and how they rank against each other against the entire NBA. You know, that's something that not many people talk about, right? So we wanted to bring that content to you. You know, this is kind of like, you know, our geek out fest on some of these numbers that come up from the NBA standpoint. So, but anyway, this is episode 59. I'm Eddie Aparicio. This is Anthony Tuan Corral. We're also known as the Cisco Kids. You can find us here at gremlingsmedia.com. You can also find us at any popular podcast outlet you can think of, such as Apple, Google, Pandora, YouTube, X, Facebook, you name it. You can find us. Just make sure you type in gremlingsmedia.com. Again, we're not going to be here next week. We'll be here in 2 weeks. But until then, have a good rest of the next 2 weeks, and we are now signing off.